Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolf.
Pride distorts our perspective, and building gallows will destroy us all. And it's the cross that makes the difference. It's the cross that can allow us to say, okay, I'm not going to let myself sink to that level. I want to live a different sort of life. I want to live a life where I am not walking around mad all the time and therefore not even enjoying all that I have. Looking at what I have and going, yeah, it's great, but it's nothing because of this little pipsqueak, because of that little person, because of that company or that church or this action. Hey, let's not lose our perspective.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
From Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo comes another edition of The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolf. We come back to Esther chapter 5 today. Stealing from others, murder, adultery. We recognize how destructive those sins are, but there's another sin that sometimes goes unnoticed in our lives that is very destructive as well, and that is pride. Today, Pastor Dave points out how pride not only destroys, but warps our perspective. And building gallows hurts us more than those we intend to hurt. The story of Haman illustrates this for us. Here's Pastor Dave.
I went with Pastor Chuck and Kay to the Harvest Crusade. And I was really excited. I had had Greg on the radio program earlier in the week talking about it. And every year I know, sometimes I'll get a bad attitude, but man, when the crusade comes and you see those people streaming down on the field, it's just glorious. It's incredible. To me, one of the most significant things that we could ever participate in as believers. So we came and we've always, for 15 years, we've always parked in the tunnel by the bullpen. It makes it easier to get in and get out for Chuck, and you know his knee's bad now, and so they'd have a cart waiting for us, and we'd just ride over to the dugout, and it was nice. But I was getting kind of frustrated in traffic, for one thing, and it's getting close to where it's time to start, and Pastor Chuck's supposed to open in prayer. So I'm a little stressed, a little tense, and for some reason this year they didn't let us park in the VIP parking. They sent us out into the regular parking lot. And I'm like, what are they doing? This was Chuck's idea, this crusade. How dare they treat him and me like that? And I'm just going, and I'm just kind of upset. And so then poor Chuck is limping, and we're walking across the parking lot, and we barely got in there in time. Everything was kind of shuffled and muddled, and I'm like, rah, rah, rah. And I'm sitting down in the dugout and just kind of, well, you know, it'll be okay. But then, you know, the crusade happens, and I'm looking at those people just streaming out of the seats, coming to give their lives to Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, why was I upset about just having to walk across a parking lot or not having an electric cart to whisk us down where we were supposed to be? How stupid of me. Until afterwards, we were going to leave, and we had to go down one level because we had to leave with all the common folks. And so we went in and we got in the elevator, and we said, just down one level. And the guy that was operating the elevator, who works for the stadium, he goes, I'm sorry, but I'm holding this elevator for someone. Like, for who? Well, for someone. It's like, oh, someone more important than us. I see. And I go, and then they said, you'll have to get off the elevator. I'm like, oh, what is this? This is crazy. You know, so get off the elevator. They go, wait for the other elevator. We're waiting and waiting. Finally, the other elevator comes. It's completely packed with people. It's going the wrong direction. And I grabbed one of Greg's head of security, and I go, Jack, can you let us use Greg's elevator for just a minute so we can get out of here? And okay, you know, and okay, it's all right. And we took the elevator. And I'm, again, walking across the parking lot. Chuck's like, oh, limping. And I'm just, this stinking Harvest Crusade, I've had it. I'm scheduled tonight to do the invitation for the internet and for the radio, and I'm just thinking, I'm going to call them the last second and just say, you know, I couldn't find a parking place. Sorry. Let somebody else do it. And my attitude's like just smelly about it. And then I'm thinking, you know what? I just saw a couple thousand people go down on the field to accept Jesus, And I'm offended. I can act like, oh, how dare they treat Chuck like that? The truth is, it's like, hey, how dare they treat me like that? And I'm ready to go, you know what? I wish those people didn't get saved. I wish no one showed up. No, I didn't take it that far. But in my heart, it's like, where is this tension coming from? What am I bugged about? Well, the Lord just showed me it's because I think I should be treated better than that. And here, my joy is robbed of me for a few, I won't say how many minutes, but for a little while, of all that God had done. Because, and here I got to watch it, I get to be a part of it, and it's such a blessing, but I'm mad, I'm bitter, I'm upset. Because somebody didn't treat, some poor old guy that doesn't know who anyone is there, he just works for the city, doesn't let us use the elevator right when we want to. Or some parking guy doesn't know that we're important enough not to have to park with the common folk. And it's like, what's wrong with me? This was an incredible night. People came into the kingdom of God, and I'm bugged about an elevator ride. And so often, in fact, every time we get upset, I'm telling you, it's something like that. I've found that our pride, it's at the root of almost everything wrong in our hearts and our lives. It's a force that divides because it's a force that distorts. The warped perspective of pride that causes us to ignore God's blessing and to focus on what we don't have or on something that doesn't quite go our way. Ultimately, what I'm saying is, I don't like the way the world is going right now because God's not letting me be God. He's not doing things just the way that you know, I want them done, and therefore I've had it with him. It doesn't pay to serve God. Boy, you do all this stuff for God, and look where he leaves you. And so often, for every one of us especially, it might be more difficult if we were living in another country, but living where we do, as blessed as we are, if you look at what we have, just materially, compared to what everyone else in the world has, I mean, what a contrast. If they could just have a ride in one of our cars, it would make their year. For us, we have those cars sitting out there. And before long, we'll have a different one. We'll trade them in and get one better. And boy, we have a house that has more room than we know what to do with. And we never have to think about, are we going to be able to afford to eat this month? It's God's taken care of us. And look around us. Look at our families. Look at our friends. Look at our church. And now, take a little bit more of a zoom back, eternity. We're going to spend all of eternity in heaven because we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. He's taken care of us so well. But so often, like Haman, we go, yeah, I'm really blessed, man. I'm rich. I'm powerful. I'm influential. I'm surrounded by people who love me. But there's one thing that's bugging me right now. And it's ruined my day, it's ruined my week, it's ruined, for some people, my life. Some people can't get over their bitterness, and their whole life is thrown away because they're just focusing on this one event that happened or this one loss that they experienced. And so it's important for us to learn the lesson that Haman never learned, that when you allow yourself to fall into the sin of pride, you will warp your perspective so much that you will stop appreciating what you have, and your focus will be on now what you don't have. It's why we worship in church. It's why we praise God, why we pray to thank him. Because as we go over all that he has done for us, it causes the other stuff to seem like not that big of a deal. There are times when I'm on my way driving somewhere that's a ways away, and I'm going to get to speak to a bunch of people. And I'm going to get to share with them that their lives can change instantly if they give their life to Jesus Christ. And some of them have been brought there, their hearts are prepared, and they're going to make a decision that night that will cause them to step into eternity. And yet, if I get too much traffic on the way, I forget all about the opportunity I have. I forget all about how good God has been to me. As far as that goes, I forget what a blessing it is to have a car with air conditioning and a stereo. Because my focus is on, I want to fly there. I want to get there quicker. I want everyone to get out of my way. Why don't they have carpool lanes for important people where there's just one person in the car? This stinks. Come on, you have a kid in your car. That doesn't save on pollution or anything else. Why should you be able, you know, what happens? Pride warps our perspective. It's as simple as that. The second thing that I want to point out to you here is that building gallows it always ends up bad for you. There's an expression, what goes around comes around. And if we take our energy and expend it against others and toward desiring to punish others or hurt others, it'll almost always come back on us, as it did for Haman. As you know, later in the book, he ends up being hung on his own gallows. Now, a funny thing happened too. I mean, it wasn't funny for him or his friends, but at first, like we read here, they all go, yeah, come on, build a gallows. It was their idea. And they said, then you'll be happy, and he was pleased. When we are bitter because of pride, when we have been offended and as a result we're armed for bear, so often there are people around us who, if we talk to them about our problems, they'll cause us to get even more stirred up. Oh, yeah, that's wrong. You shouldn't be treated like that. That's a horrible thing. And that kind of an influence can make it a lot worse. It can end up later. His family all backed off. They go, oh, man, you shouldn't have done this. It was their idea. They pushed him into it and then backed up, and some of them were hung on it as well. But we have a responsibility, really not just a responsibility, but an opportunity. When we come across someone who's bitter, do we tell them, build a gallows? Or do we tell them, let go of this. It's okay. The funny thing was, the whole time at the Harvest Crusade on Friday night, this old 78-year-old guy, it was his idea to start Harvest, and he's the one with the pain in his knee, he never complained one bit about parking in the lot, about not getting on the elevator. It was like he let roll off of him totally. Chuck didn't get upset about it. Oh, I convinced myself that I was upset for him. I was upset enough for both of us. But in that wisdom of that 78 years of walking with the Lord, he's figured out there are some things that just aren't worth getting upset about. But the flip side of that is people who will go, oh, you ought to do something. You ought to, and I had people, you ought to write to Greg Laurie. You ought to call him. You know, you ought to, it's like, no, you know. That's, don't help me build a gallows. Help me to remember that gallows can often, the person who builds it can end up hanging on them. Over in Proverbs chapter 26, in fact, this is an important enough verse. Why don't you turn over there if you have a Bible with you. Proverbs 26, and I think it's down there in verse 27, yeah. Proverbs 26, 27, it's a good one to write down and keep in mind when you feel like building a gallows. The wisdom of the ages, it says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him again. What goes around comes around. It'll come back to bite you in the end. It does so often. That's the way it works. Paul expressed it this way over in Galatians chapter 5. Paul said to the Christians, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. If you start picking at each other, if you start biting and devouring each other, you're all going to lose. You're all going to be hurt. It's true in a marriage. It's true in a family. It's true with friends. It's true in a church. If we decide to be combative and we stir each other up and this isn't right, we're going to hang on our own gallows. We're going to fall on our own pit. That boulder that we were pushing to squash someone else will squash us. It just works that way. We will be consumed. We will be destroyed. We'll lose sight of all that God has done, and instead, we'll be destroying someone else while they're destroying us. It's not worth it. We need to stop building gallows. We need to stop taking shots at others. There was a guy back in the 80s in Arizona who went out in the desert and decided to go shooting. And there was this huge 24-foot cactus, big old thing. And he thought, this is cool, because if you shoot a cactus, I don't know if you've ever done it, but you see the little wounds as the stuff leaks out. And so he took a couple shots at this thing, and it toppled it over, and it pinned him to the ground, spikes in him, and he ended up dying there in the desert. And so often, that's what happens when we shoot. That's what happens when we fire off at someone. The whole thing collapses on us. The whole thing ends up destroying us, killing us. And so we have a choice when there's an offense. We have a choice when our pride is affected. And if we decide to build a gallows, if we let other people talk us into doing that, we will be caught up in the process as Haman was. And sure enough, generally, we'll end up being destroyed by our own plan, by our own destructiveness, by bringing it to the level of combat. And then as the combat escalates on both sides, before you know it, it's all over. And so pride destroys and warps our perspective. And building gallows, it ends up hurting us more than the one we intend to hurt. This one was built in his yard. Some of us spend our time in our own homes building gallows, talking about things that are bad, offensive things that have happened. I'm so mad at this person, or you know what that person did, and ultimately there we are. We live in a death house. We live in a house where looming up out of our yard is a 75-foot gallows, and ultimately we'll hang on it ourselves. We will. It just works that way. We're not designed, our job isn't to convict other people, to condemn other people, to point out other people's flaws and weaknesses, to stick up for ourselves and defend our rights. That's not how we're designed. Now, I want you to think for just a moment, a contrast of two individuals, two powerful people in the Persian Empire. A lot of P's there. One of them is Nehemiah. He would come along later. He was a servant to Artaxerxes. The other one is Haman, the man who hung here. They were both in a similar position of power, but they chose two different routes. And, you know, I've found people who are like number two people, like vice president kind of people in business world or, you know, wherever, there are two ways to become the right-hand guy. One of them is the path of Nehemiah. Nehemiah served faithfully King Artaxerxes. He was selfless and giving. He put himself in a position of danger. But also, Nehemiah understood that he wasn't ultimately serving Artaxerxes, but he was serving God. And so he served Artaxerxes as unto the Lord, and he risked his life and he risked his career to do what was right. And God used him to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and he returned to continue to faithfully serve Artaxerxes. But Haman was one of these guys, and that's the other type of right-hand guy there is. Some of them you'll find they're just weasels. They fasten their cart to somebody else. They allow themselves to be promoted based on the capabilities and achievements of a more successful person, and they just slide through, and ultimately, if they could, they'd sell out their own boss for them to have that ultimate position as well. They weasel their way to the top, and that was Haman. But it's two kinds of servants. It's two kinds of people, both of whom are trying to serve, but what a difference between those two attitudes.
Thanks for joining us today for The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolf. We're going through the book of Esther, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling 949-362-7475. Now to contrast two very powerful but different people. Here again is Pastor Dave.
Now, really, my last point is this. I want you to think now. We've looked at two different types of number two men. Now think about two different pieces of equipment designed to kill people. One, the gallows, designed to hang and to choke out someone. The other, the cross, the symbol of everything that's right for us as believers. Place where Jesus didn't build anything to destroy someone else, but he willingly submitted and subjected himself to the cross because he would take the punishment for our sins. He would give himself willingly to die for our good. The gallows, oh, you make it with someone else in mind, but you'll end up hanging on it. That always attacking people will generally work out that way. Now for us, we have a choice. Life is tough. The world, it sometimes throws negative things, throws curveballs at us. Things we don't expect, things we wouldn't approve of. If you want, hey, get some wood. Build a gallows. But it'll destroy you. On the other hand, Jesus says to us, if you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Take up your cross? Jesus said that even before he went to the cross, but he knew what was going to happen, and later on it took on a lot of significance to the disciples. Are you willing, am I willing, to sometimes be punished for something we didn't do? Are we willing to be wronged and not respond with bitterness and anger and malice and not escalate the offense? Jesus says, if you want to come after me, you're going to have a cross to bear. Sometime, someday, it might kill you, and then I'll give you eternal life. So our choice, follow the man on the cross, pursue the man on the gallows. The decision is made when the time comes when you've been offended, and you've been hurt, your pride has been damaged, and are you going to build a gallows? Or are you going to take it? Are you going to take it in the name of Jesus? Are you going to take up your cross? As Jim Elliot said, no one is a fool who will give up what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. And that's what it comes down to for each of us. Are we going to be willing to give up these things that don't even matter and we'll lose them someday anyhow? And it'll end up destroying us in the process. Or will we, like Jesus, say, I will not build gallows. I will not fight back. I will not try to attack and destroy someone because my pride is hurt, because they've offended me. Jesus didn't. And I am so glad he didn't, because we wouldn't be here today. We couldn't have a relationship with God today had not Jesus been willing to hang on the cross for us, to die for us. And if he did that for us and he tells us to take up our cross, that's the way I want to live. Oh, I do it very imperfectly. There are many days when it's just somebody cuts you off on the road, your joy is gone. Someone does something little and not even intending to be mean, but you take it the wrong way and it offends you and you fight back. And you're there in your house and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're out in the backyard banging with a hammer and nails, I'm going to get you. Gallows is for you. Pride distorts our perspective, and building gallows will destroy us all. And it's the cross that makes the difference. It's the cross that can allow us to say, okay, I'm not going to let myself fall, sink to that level. I want to live a different sort of life. I want to live a life where I am not walking around mad all the time and therefore not even enjoying all that I have. Looking at what I have and going, yeah, it's great, but it's nothing because of this little pipsqueak, because of that little person, because of that company or that church or this action. Hey, let's not lose our perspective. If we swallow our pride and if we allow God to take care of us, then we're free to worship. Then we're free to praise. Then we're free to look at what God has given us and go, this is so much more than I deserve. I am a blessed man. I am a blessed woman because God is good. And there isn't anything that you're going to do to me that's going to take me out of the realm of praise because, hey, I've got it made. Oh, this person won't bow down to me and I'd like them to. Doesn't matter. It's not significant. Other people and their feelings don't define who I am. I'm defined by the God who created me, who loves me, who sent his son to die for me. What could be more important than that? That everything else pales in comparison to eternity, to the fact that we're going to spend our eternity with God in his presence. Let's not get shook by the little offenses that come along our way. And let's certainly not allow our eyes to go off God's blessing and onto a plot or a plan that's going to make someone pay. Instead, blow it off. Swallow your pride. And know that God has blessed you so much that whatever anyone else does is just small potatoes compared to what he has already done, what he has guaranteed, the eternity that he promises us.
We've got one more study to go in Esther, and we'll have that for you on our next two programs. This has been The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe, brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up.